I'm Michelle Martin. This is Tell Me More from NPR News. A little later, the 10th anniversary of the bombings of two U.S. embassies in East Africa is today. We're going to take a moment to remember. And the Olympic Games. Two Chinese Americans give their very different views. But first, political news from Africa. The Northwest African nation of Mauritania remains under military rule after soldiers seized control of the capital yesterday. It was a bloodless coup. Both the Mauritanian president and prime minister are being detained by troops. The African Union and the U.S. have condemned the overthrow. The European Union has threatened to withhold hundreds of millions of dollars in aid if the nation's leaders aren't restored to power. But today, Mauritania's new military junta announced that it plans to hold free and transparent elections as soon as possible. To find out more, we're going to turn to Amira Woods. She's co-director of Foreign Policy in Focus at the Institute for Policy Studies. Welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Michelle. It's a joy to be with you.
Thank you. Before we get into the politics of the whole situation, if you just tell us a little bit about Mauritania.
Well, Mauritania is just on the other side of the Atlantic. It's on the west coast of Africa. It's a country of about 3 million people, and it is about the size of France and Germany put together. So it is a country that has been, it kind of straddles North Africa and a bit of south of the Sahara. It's just north of Senegal. It is a beautiful country, but it's largely desert. And Mauritania, I think, got on the map when oil was discovered about 2 years ago. And I think that has changed both the issues around Mauritania and the significance of the country for the global economy.
The country has a history of past coups, but the current government was elected in what most of the international community considers to have been a free and fair elections. Did the junta give any reason for the coup?
Well, they gave reasons. But Michelle, let's be clear. You know, France took over Mauritania back in 1904 and ruled until 1960. From the day independence ended till today, you can count about 12 coups and counter coups that have taken place in Mauritania. So there has been a problematic political history in the country for quite some time. What those who took over the coup, and let's be clear, they were part of a former coup plot back in 2005. So the general that is now president was part of the coup, the last coup back in 2005. And that coup had a military regime for 2 years, and then, as you quite rightly said, went to elections after that. But what happened was you have had, in that period, oil discovered. You have also had, particularly in this year, the global food crisis. So you have had, since January, striking riots in the streets in Mauritania of people clamoring for a better way in terms of the economy, working for the people. So ostensibly, this change is for greater economic rights for the people. But we know that there have been, as I said, counter coups and counter coups. And it's all about the military somehow keeping its hands on the levers of power.
It's also my understanding that the president sacked several top military leaders, and that in part this is a reaction to that.
And well, again, there was a vote of no confidence in the parliament, and the regime basically lost this vote of no confidence, which forced a change in the cabinet. And also this change that was being pushed in terms of the military apparatus and the leadership. So, yes, there has been this political shuffle going on. But again, it is consistent in that regardless of who's at the head, the military tends to still keep its hands on power. And I think we have to look at issues, particularly now, because of oil, of outside supporters that are actually giving, especially the U.S., we have to be clear, the U.S., giving military training and hardware to this very same military that's been involved in these coups and counter coups.
Does the U.S. have an interest in Mauritania? The U.S. has condemned this recent development because it's anti-democratic and it overthrew a democratically elected government. But does the U.S. have does it have any national security interest in Mauritania, for example?
Well, clearly now Africa is the source, even more than the Middle East, of U.S. oil. So more oil is sourced from Africa than the Middle East. And Mauritania now coming on stream for oil is critical in this picture of U.S. strategic interests. Again, it's almost a sense of why is our oil there under their sand, right? Sort of the case of Iraq, right? But I think what we have to look at is what is happening with the people of Mauritania and how can they help determine both a political process and an economic process that meets their their needs.
And right, to be continued. We want to move to Rwanda now, which of course many Americans are familiar with because of the horrible events there. Earlier this week, the Rwandan government formally called for 33 French political and military leaders to be put on trial for their role in the 1994 genocide there. Rwanda's justice minister said that there is evidence of the French role prior to the genocide, during the genocide, and immediately after in training, the mining of roadblocks, some of them in actual combat operations. Are these credible allegations?
Well, I think we have to look at these allegations and say there is a role when France is, as a government, this went all the way up to the President Mitterrand, right, as a government providing assistance and support to the government in Rwanda prior to the genocide, during the genocide, giving military hardware and training. Again, it's the similar case we're talking about in Mauritania. Those that assist these militaries from the outside have to be held accountable for their actions, especially when those actions lead to gross atrocities like the Rwandan genocide, 800,000 people killed, right?
So how likely is it that this will occur, that these individuals will face some sort of judicial process?
Well, I think the first step is getting this information out. And there's so much information about the genocide and the role of outside actors that is not yet known. So this has been a 2-year commission and they've produced this 500-page report that is bringing the evidence forward. And we need to continue to shed light on involvement in these atrocities to make sure that there isn't a climate of impunity for those local actors, but also for the international actors involved in gross violations of international law and human rights.
All right. Amira Woods is the co-director of Foreign Policy and Focus at the Institute for Policy Studies. She was kind enough to join me in our Washington studio. Amira, thank you so much once again.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Michelle.